This show is brought to you by MTN. For your everyday moves, try this new MTN app. MTN, SA's best network.
I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central Show. Now, my guest today is Graham Parker. Graham is Executive Chairman of Brighthouse, and he's joining us to chat about the recent management buyout of Brighthouse from what was Dimension Data, now, of course, NTT Data, and also to chat a bit about the plans for the business. Graham, thanks for joining me. I see on your LinkedIn that you joined Dimension Data all the way back in 2000 as a corporate finance manager. You've held numerous roles at the company over the years. When did you first get involved in Brighthouse?
I joined Brighthouse, I believe it was sort of mid-2014.
Okay.
I have a financial background, actually not a technical background, and came back from London in the beginning of 2000.
You were an auditor, weren't you, at Deloitte?
I was at Deloitte, and then I did corporate finance work in the UK for a few years, and then figured out that I preferred the sun and the smiles of South Africa compared to the gloom and grey of London, which was my perception. Yeah, I didn't mind it, but I far preferred it here. And I came back when Dimension Data were in a big growth phase and I guess needed sort of corporate finance type expertise. And so I joined in that role. And then, as you said, performed various functions in the global Dimension Data business, actually, sort of strategic acquisition type and commercial management type roles.
Right.
And then in 2014, Scott Gibson actually came to me and said, look, they're looking for someone to run their non-SAP businesses within Brighthouse, so they did what they call digital, and I needed a change. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a good opportunity to do something different on the ground, South African based, not global travel, get my hands dirty in a really coal-facing, techies on the road type business.
Sure. Just remind me, the Brighthouse business was actually incubated inside Dimension Data, wasn't it? It had a number of external shareholders.
I think
Convergence Partners was one of them.
Yes.
Remgro, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's right.
And then at some stage, I think around 2015, 2016, it was entirely bought out by Dimension Data, I think under the leadership at the time of Brett Dawson, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
So you were involved in that process. You were there at the time when acquisition took place.
I wasn't involved in the inception of Brighthouse. Brighthouse was started actually to house the software businesses of Dimension Data.
Okay.
As you know, Dimension Data has been and I guess remains predominantly an infrastructure type IT systems integrator. And so the business created Brighthouse to house their software assets and got an external shareholders, as you mentioned, to help fund it and grow. And then I can't remember the exact time, but eventually Dimension Data did buy it back wholesale in-house. In somewhere around there, 2017, somewhere around there.
Okay.
At which stage we became a division of the greater Dimension Data.
Yes. In fact, there was a move, I think around 2019, 2020, to create a one Dimension Data brand.
And
I think the decision was taken at the time to do away with the Internet Solutions brand. And I think the Brighthouse brand was also kind of subsumed into the mothership. So did the Brighthouse brand actually disappear then now and it's being reinvigorated as part of this management buyout?
Yeah, that's a good question. There was one outlier to this because it was the only business left in Dimension Data with minority shareholding, and that was the Brighthouse mobility business.
Okay.
So that's really what the buyout is around, is that Brighthouse mobility business. And so Brighthouse mobility kept the Brighthouse name. It's a focused software engineering business, but the other parts of Brighthouse that had been consumed to within Dimension Data were then rebranded Dimension Data Application Solutions or something of that ilk. I can't remember the exact name, somewhere around there.
Okay, so the business was kind of split in two at that stage?
Yeah, even more probably. So the various elements of the old Brighthouse business were put in different parts of Dimension Data.
Okay.
Brighthouse, as I say, mobility kept its identity and its management because it had minority shareholders.
I see. Okay. And what was Brighthouse Mobility's principal focus, if it wasn't the SAP business?
So it actually grew up around the SAP business, but it the way I describe it is that it plays in the spaces around the big, hairy original equipment manufacturers or OEMs, specifically in the software space. SAP obviously being one of them, and as I guess people would know, SAP is very good at doing some things, but there are areas which SAP doesn't play in, and especially in the early days, the sort of end user consumption of SAP, the ability for consumers to use SAP as a system was limited, and so Brighthouse built really good front-end systems for integrating, for doing, I guess, tasks in the field that then integrate into SAP. So it became very good at building front-end, hence the mobility name, historical name, and then integration into big SAP systems. And then over time, it created skill around some of the other big OEMs around integration and front-end skills.
So post the acquisition, post the MBO, is it simply going to be Brighthouse, or is it still Brighthouse Mobility?
No. So the mobility name, I guess we had to keep to differentiate it from Brighthouse, but it became irrelevant.
Yeah.
Probably for the last 10 years. I mean, it's a software engineering business. It's good in the mobility space, but it's certainly not a mobility business at all.
Okay.
And now to simplify our name and to, I guess, take the mobility bit out of it for why I've just described, we've decided to call ourselves Brighthouse.
Just Brighthouse.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me what you've bought here. How big is this business? What are its focus areas?
Yeah. So,
where's it going?
So it's about 100 odd engineers, very, very technical engineering driven business. It has, I guess, grown. I mean, it's obviously had to be careful as to where it's played historically, because it's had its lane within the Brighthouse group initially, right, and then Dimension Data, and we've had to respect that. And I guess one of the areas that we are excited about is being able to play in spaces where we've probably not really been allowed to in the past. So it doesn't mean we're going to go and build businesses that compete with Dimension Data. I actually don't think we will, because we'd rather partner with them. We have a strong partnership agreement with them. So there's so we've got a very good relationship with DD or NTT. Mm-hmm. Absolutely nothing acrimonious there. But there will be places where NTT did not anoint various technologies. There are lots of new age players in the integration space, for example, which NTT have not anointed, but we think there's great opportunity, and we weren't really able to play with them before because we had to follow group rules,
sure,
procurement rules, and all the rest of it. And so, you know, that's an area in which we think there's great opportunity for us. I think also there's opportunity for being, one can respond quicker. If you're your own team, you can invest in areas which a big corporate might not want you to invest in. They might be more interested in the short-term return, mm-hmm, as opposed to the long-term return. We can make those, as private shareholders, we can make those decisions ourselves. We can run the business along the lines of how we feel a software business should be run, which is actually quite different to a systems integration business.
Right.
And we can, I guess, get that culture of the business. I mean, I'm a big believer in culture, and I am a strong believer in the adage, culture eats strategy for breakfast, and it's one of the reasons why I've come back into this business. It was certainly, I thought, one of the best cultured, if that's the right word, mm-hmm, businesses that I was involved in over my 20-odd year stint at Dimension Data. And that was obviously hard to keep up, and certainly in the latter days of DD and NTT, for various reasons, some of which you've covered.
Sure.
So obviously we want to get that culture back, and that can-do attitude.
What kind of culture are you trying to inculcate, and why?
It's not necessarily the standard. It's, for me, it's when we were really successful in the market 10 odd years ago, the digital business, for example, in Brighthouse, it grew quite aggressively in the end, ended up at a similar size to the SAP business, having started way behind it. And I think that what we got right is we became – we had a can-do attitude. We were very agile in that we were able to respond to opportunities. I mean, we understood where we played, you know. So we didn't play in technologies or areas that we weren't strong in. But within those guardrails, we were very quick to respond. We were able to commercially interact with our clients in different ways. So there wasn't only one way of – we took risk ourselves along with the clients. We were willing to hire teams of people which would have been left field for an old school business type to do. And as a result of that, and we capitalized on this move, which is still going on, to cloud and to software as a service type operating models. I think that created a lot of room in the market for niche businesses like Brighthouse Mobility in that, you know, again, to use an old analogy, you don't get fired for buying IBM. I think a lot of that thinking has changed, and businesses, especially in the big end of town, are now comfortable buying products and solutions from niche service providers as opposed to just going to some of the old school big OEMs.
Knowing they might get better outcomes going to the smaller guy.
And they feel more comfortable. And I think the advent of cloud and SaaS has made that far more acceptable a way of building up your IT stack as a big enterprise. Mm-hmm. And so that played into us, for us. But in order to do that, you have to be agile. And I know agile is an overused word, but where we were agile is we could quickly hire, we could quickly move, we could quickly pivot, we could quickly change our commercials. Yeah, I mean, we want to sort of get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So what? Maybe take us through the kind of project work you're doing at the moment. What's your bread and butter business?
Okay.
And where do you want to take the business in the next few years?
Yeah, so the business at the moment is half project work, so software engineering, and probably at least half of that is in the integration space. We're very strong in some of the heavy integration required between those big systems. We use industry norm platforms such as Azure and AWS to do that, and new age integration technologies such as SnapLogic. But there's complexity in big systems with thousands of transactions happening on a minute by minute basis, which we've become very good at operating. So that's probably half of our projects business, which I said is half of our business. The other bit of the projects business is building systems to help a lot of our, I guess, manufacturing type FMCG clients with their front end logistics out in the field services, Salesforce automation, that kind of thing. So that's where we've grown up, and I guess a lot of that came off the back of the Brighthouse SAP business grew up very strong in the manufacturing space. Mm-hmm. And so we piggybacked off that and built skills there. The other half of the business is IP, which have now been productized into products, which we have packaged, probably 80% packaged, because most of our clients are still, and hopefully remain so, the big enterprises. So we need to go to them with packaged solutions to help their salespeople, to help their field services, to help them manage their capital intensive equipment that are quick to deploy, but have a 20% customization element on the edge. So we integrate properly into their systems. We customize within reason to how they want to use it in their own business flows. That is the other half of the business. And that's certainly the areas where we think there's area for growth and where AI will help us. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously in the former area and at the low end of the project work, AI has a huge, there's a big risk for projects businesses to get disintermediated by the coding that's now naturally inherent within some of those AI models. So one has to be very careful there. Your lunch will get eaten at a certain level and increasingly probably all through the stack by AI models. Whereas if you're building solutions that solve business problems, AI is a huge ally because one can build them quicker, they're more effective, they're more efficient, and you can get the solution to customer in a better way. And the solution isn't around AI only. It includes the endpoints, the IoT devices, integrating into workflows, all of that kind of stuff. So it requires solutioning, which requires people, but they can bring to bear that AI in a very, you know, in a very useful way.
Are you finding your clients are asking for a lot of AI to be integrated into the solutions you produce?
No. I think I was asked this the other day. So, you know, as we were going private and looking at, I guess, marketing the new Bright House, you know, we were told by our marketing and PR people, no, we've got to put AI into this and AI into that, into the marketing blurb. So we obviously did, but as I say, and it is meaningful to us. To answer your question directly, our clients actually care about the solutions they're getting, less about how they are delivered.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they work properly. I mean, often they're obviously interested in how we do it, so we will explain to them we're using a lot of AI and a lot of the sort of the more advanced solutions that we're currently building, but that's out of an interest point of view from the client, as opposed to they're on a tech stack. And because a lot of our buyers, actually most of our clients are business as opposed to IT, actually.
Right.
So, and as you can imagine, business is more interested academically and operationally in the AI as opposed to technically in the AI.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So what's next for this business? You've successfully concluded the management buyout now. What's coming in the next couple of years, and does that require you to perhaps look at making some acquisitions, bringing in some new talent?
Yeah.
What's the growth plan?
The growth plan is definitely to invest in that IP side of our business. The model there, interestingly enough, is in order for that to be relevant, you need to understand niches in industries. So we can't be all things to all people. In order to understand an industry niche, so for example, mining, we have now built some really cool solutions that manage big capital equipment underground in the big mines up in Kutu and other places. As much as I'd like to think so, I think my ability to go and understand a value prop, understand the problem of a mine manager up in Kutu is severely limited.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done in that case is we've partnered with a mining engineering business, just a small niche business of people who've grown up in the mining world, who understand the problems within the mining world, and technology can solve those problems. And we've essentially entered into a 50-50 partnership with them where they engage with the client, understand the problems, and we build the solutions along with them. So they're essentially sort of the product owners, go to market, and we're the engine. Mm-hmm. And that model has worked well for us there, and we're looking to do that in some of the other verticals and industries. So I think that's the model in order to grow. Where that takes us, if that takes us into joint ventures, partnership agreements, acquisitions, will depend on who we engage with, but we're open to all of those. It's very exciting. I mean, the conversations we've had over the last few months are very exciting. So I do think, you know, obviously everyone says to me, sure, very brave, you're MBOing in a time in South Africa landscape, the systems which is, you know, the business world is very iffy, systems integrators seem to be faltering. So I guess the big end of town aren't having it great. You know, you see the results, they're not having it great. Isn't that risky? My sense is that if you focus in niche places, and I guess we're fortunate enough in that the business is small enough so we don't have to be all things to all people. We're not reliant on a rising tide to be successful. But there is huge opportunity within industries to properly digitize and build technology-based solutions to solve real business problems of efficiency and effectiveness and save our clients money. So I think there is big roadway for us to do that. And I think we're very well placed to do that.
Which industries are you strongest in at the moment, and which industries do you want to get into?
Yeah, so as I've mentioned, the manufacturing side, we've got strength in that FMCG, the Salesforce automation field services we've grown up in. So we've got strong solutions there. We've, over the last few years through this partnership, built good mining vertical type solutions. We have a medical suite of solutions. Again, they're fairly financial, sort of stock management type solutions for hospitals, which we're playing in sort of mid-tier of the private hospitals in the country. And so that's where we're at. I'd like to leverage those firstly. Then the other verticals, we would, you know, financial services, for me, we're so far behind the curve there. Very heavily traded, very heavily invested by the banks also into startups and all the rest of it. So even though that's probably the biggest area, I think I'll stay away from that.
Difficult to compete there.
Difficult to compete, and we've got no differentiation.
Yeah.
So I think we'll stick to our knitting for the moment. If something comes along, and often the way things come along is a client will come to us and we'll win a project in a certain space, and then we have business conversations with that client in and we start and they'll tell us of industry issues, then often we'll partner with them to actually go to market. And we did that in the healthcare space, for example.
Just lastly then, Graham, you mentioned you employ about 100 software engineers.
Yes.
What is the talent ecosystem looking like in South Africa at the moment? I know there's been talk for years about a brain drain and difficulty in finding talent in particular areas.
Yes.
What's it like out there right now?
It is difficult to find the high-end engineers. As you've probably ascertained, we certainly don't position ourselves, and we haven't got a big pool of developers out to hire as a service kind of thing. So we play in specific niche technologies. We've tried to choose the main technologies also, because at least you've got half a chance of finding decent skills. But it is difficult. But if you have the right name in the market, and we believe Brighthouse has got a very good name in the market and remains like that, and it always did have the right culture and are willing to pay market. I mean, all you have to do is pay market. We can generally find whom we need. It might take some time, and sometimes one needs to be patient. If, on the other hand, you suddenly need 40 developers to do A, B, C for a big outsource for a client, that's very difficult to source. And I think then you'd need to go offshore to find that talent remotely. But a lot of what we do needs to be sitting in front of a client, really understanding the business needs. It's high touch. It's high effectiveness as opposed to efficiency. You know, we want to be known for being very effective at what we do. We're not for ourselves necessarily trying to drive a very efficient, low cost business. We want to be a high end business, like accretive business.
And create an environment in which developers want to work.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
And I suppose the nature of the work that you do gives them lots of opportunities to work on different projects and experience in different areas.
So the other thing that this business has done very well and was certainly the leader in the Dimension Data world in this was move to Lean Agile. And the reason why that is important, given the context of what you've just said, is that the way Lean Agile suggests you organize yourself is around products or solutions. So you have fully encompassed self-sustaining teams with product managers, high-end developers, lower-end entry-level developers, and support. And they support and build. They build, run, manage a suite of products or solutions. And what that means is that in the old days, you'd have a support desk. You'd have your entry-level engineers, and they'd all go, and then you get a new project, and then, you know, you'd build that project, and then that all disband. The way this works is that the high-end engineers are almost as responsible as the support engineers for making sure that what they've built works, because they've got to live off the profits of that product. And so it creates a great culture. It's a far more commercial culture. So coming from a business background, it suits me. Well, it speaks to me, let me put it like that. And And the engineers and the developers love it because they get especially the lower end guys, they're getting access to the higher end engineers and doing often the higher end work and not just doing the support drudge type work.
Congratulations on the MBO.
Thank you. Graham Parker
is executive chairman of Brighthouse, and thanks for sharing your insights with Tech Central's audience. Much appreciated.
Thank you, Duncan.